Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. This is The Takeaway. I'm joined by Noel King, who's sitting in for Celeste Headlee, who's headed down to the Washington Mall to observe Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart in action, trying to restore sanity to our politics or make fun of democracy once again. Noel King is a producer here on the program. And at the top of the hour, we're asking about comparisons between Obama's first 2 years and other presidents' first 2 years. Advice from other presidents.
Right.
But what about comparisons with the opposition?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, there's actually a book that you can buy. We've referred to it already. It's called The Copperheads, The Rise and Fall of Lincoln's Opponents in the North in the 1860s. Jenny Weber is with us all hour. She talked about Lincoln's predicament being very similar to Obama's predicament in the midterms in 2010. But let's talk a little bit about who these copperheads were. When you were on the program, and thanks for being with us all hour, Jenny.
My pleasure, John.
Let me remind you of something you said on the program back in July when we first talked about this. This is you speaking on The Takeaway a couple of months ago.
By the summer of 1864, no one, including the head of the Republican Party and Lincoln himself, thought he would be reelected in November. And he faced tremendous opposition from a group of very conservative Democrats known as the Copperheads or the Peace Democrats.
So, Jennifer Weber, this Copperhead movement was a kind of disorganized take back our country movement that came out of disgruntlement over the Civil War and some other things. At the time we spoke back in July, you didn't think there was much comparison between the Copperheads and the Tea Party. As you've watched the campaign sort of move forward, has your thought about that changed?
Well, somewhat. Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll tell you, John, I spent all summer thinking about that question after you asked it. But I think that things have changed with the Tea Party, too. You know, they've started talking more and more about the Constitution, and this was something that the Copperheads were really concerned with. In fact, the Copperheads cloaked most of their critiques of Lincoln in constitutional arguments, and I'm now seeing the Tea Party doing that more and more, where they differed with Obama initially really over policy matters, and they still do, but they're introducing the Constitution really very routinely as a way to criticize his efforts. And so, yes, there is a change there.
And are we talking about two isolated data points that seem very, very similar, the Copperheads and the Tea Party, or are we more looking at a tradition in America, particularly since the Civil War, of a kind of evangelical take-back-the-country movement that crops up from time to time, and the Tea Party and the Copperheads are just two examples of something that's a much longer tradition. What do you think?
Well, the Copperheads were not—there was not a really religious component to it, an evangelical Christian component to it, although a lot of Catholics were attracted to it. But I think that I think part of this is human nature, and part of it is just maybe being American. But in really bad times, there is a tradition in this country of very conservative movement popping up. People who hearken back to a past that may or may not ever have existed, but they want to return to that real or imagined past, They're very uncomfortable with change. Nobody's comfortable with change, but they're particularly uncomfortable with it and are just fighting it tooth and nail.
Let's talk about Lincoln's response for a moment. I mean, you've already alluded to the fact that in the midst of this opposition, Lincoln had trouble adjusting his message. We've seen Obama, be on The Daily Show, and there are these Washington Mall rallies of these comic entertainers. Did Lincoln do sort of strange venue interviews? I mean, there wasn't television at the time, of course, but something that would be an analog to going on The Daily Show back in the 1860s to try to sharpen his message?
No, the presidency was completely different than in terms of its relationship with the press. And Lincoln didn't have press conferences. It wasn't done then. Interviews with reporters, not really. And in fact, there weren't that many speeches that he went out and made. He was in the White House trying to get this war won most of the time. And some of his more notable, what we think of as speeches, were actually his words spoken by other people in other venues across the country.
So the pre-bully pulpit days, Jennifer Weber is associate professor at the University of Kansas, author of Copperheads, The Rise and Fall of Lincoln's Opponents in the North, and America's Bloodiest Summer, a children's book on Gettysburg. She's with us all hour. Jennifer, just stay with us, won't you?